Ganaldo, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading for Are We There Yet? A quirky travel guide to the Southwest and beyond. Just can't wait to get on the Ecotourism is now defined as responsible travel to natural areas that conserves the environment, sustains the well-being of the local people, and involves interpretation and education. Education is meant to be inclusive of both staff and guests. The principles of ecotourism. Ecotourism is about uniting conservation, communities, and sustainable travel. This means that those who implement, participate in, and market ecotourism activities should adopt the following ecotourism principles. 1. Minimize physical, social, behavioral, and psychological impacts. 2. Build environmental and cultural awareness and respect. 3. Provide positive experiences for both visitors and hosts. 4. Provide direct financial benefits for conservation. 5. Generate financial benefits for both local people and private industry. 6. Deliver memorable interpretive experiences to visitors that help raise sensitivity to host countries' political, environmental, and social climates. 7. Design, construct, and operate low-impact facilities. 8. Recognize the rights and spiritual beliefs of the indigenous people in your community and work in partnership with them to create empowerment. What is ecotourism? A guide on how to travel sustainably. Immerse yourself in nature with respect for the environment and the culture that supports it. By Julieta Cardenas, published July 26, 2023. If you love nature, you may have tried to plan a vacation where you get to be immersed in it. Maybe you've explored a coral reef or visited an elephant sanctuary, or you dream of doing so one day. These activities can fall under the umbrella of ecotourism, a kind of nature-based travel that aims to protect and empower the environment, animals, and local communities when planning vacations. Tourism is one of the fastest-growing industries in the world, accounting for 22 million new jobs last year, with a large part of that growth stemming from a post-lockdown itch for travel. As people return to packing as much stuff as humanly possible into a carry-on, ecotourism, too, will likely skyrocket to a market value of $299 billion by 2026. In the last 10 years, travelers have become more environmentally conscious and socially responsible, looking for travel experiences that reflect their morals. Still, the question for many well-meaning tourists remains: is ethical ecotourism even possible? There are a few things that complicate ecotourism's narrative, like the carbon emissions produced by flights, or the challenges of ensuring that a significant degree of profits actually do go to local communities, protecting wildlife and cultural heritage. Nature-based travel, too, can risk losing the plot from sanctuaries that operate like petting zoos to the development of tropical coasts into even more nature-forward resorts. It really boils down to an attitude and an ethic about how we approach the natural world, said David Fennell, a geography and tourism studies professor at Brock University in Ontario, Canada, and editor-in-chief of the Journal of Ecotourism. Just by virtue of going to a national park doesn't mean you're an ecotourist. You have to have that attitude. And you have to tap into that ethic about what is important, not just to yourself as a tourist, but about conservation and animal welfare. As a tourist, choosing where to go is an important decision, one that can help or hurt the environment and communities where you are visiting. There are some situations that are too good to be truly as effective as they claim, and accreditations, though helpful, may not tell the whole story. Understandably, trying to figure out what's best for the environment, for communities, and for yourself can be overwhelming. It may be that ecotourism is a state of mind rather than a destination. Here are some ways to think about your next adventure to ensure your ethics align. What actually is ecotourism? An alternative to mass tourism, or when thousands of people visit a destination day in and day out. Think of the resortification of Ibiza, in which people partied so hard that legislation was passed in 2022 to change the destination's wasteful image. Ecotourism is meant to get you off the beaten trail and into a mindset of reciprocity with the site you are visiting. As with many sustainably oriented services, ecotourism got its start in the 70s. It officially became a dictionary entry in 1982, where it is defined as supporting conservation efforts, especially in often threatened natural environments. Since then, though, the definition and intent have evolved to include bolstering local communities. In the literature on ecotourism, travel can be distinguished into hard paths and soft paths, based on how many aspects of your trip follow the ethical North Star of ecotourism, and how demanding the trip will be of you. For example, if your trip features a strong environmental commitment and will be physically active, you're likely on the hard path of ecotourism. If your trip is aimed at physical comfort with only a moderate nod to environmental commitment, you may be on a soft path. But taking it as an ethos means you can be an ecotourist anywhere, especially locally. You might be wondering if a hike on a busy trail or swimming with manatees is ecotourism. Although both of those examples are nature-based tourism as the interface with the natural world, they're not necessarily ecotourism, since both of these activities can put these destinations at risk if done in excess. Hiking a spot to death or droves of tourists putting Florida's manatees at risk put pressure on the ecology of those places. In the 1980s, mass tourism began to wreck some of the world's most sensitive ecosystems, such as the Riviera Maya in Mexico, where near-constant development has led to local forests being cleared. Wildlife tourism runs the gamut from cruel breeding and hunting of lions to we really shouldn't have cetaceans in captivity dolphin shows, to cool, ethical birdwatching. Ecotourism, including wildlife, can be ethical as long as the animals you are engaging with are not manipulated or not free to disengage in interaction with tourists. Anytime you have an animal that's held in a captive environment that you're manipulating, the animal is not free to disengage that interaction based on its own will, says Fennell. If you're interested in going on adventures that are a little more sport-oriented, such as kayaking or diving, then this might be also considered nature-based tourism, since activities like climbing, sailing, camping, and snorkeling are less directly connected to ecological benefits. An example of nature tourism would be surfing lessons off Australia's Coffs Coast. You're in nature having fun, but vibes are about all you're contributing to the scene. Ecotourism also has an educational component. You're meant to learn about nature, culture, and threats to the area you're in. Paul Rosalie, founder and wildlife director of Jungle Keepers, a program that uses donations and tourist money to buy tracts of the Amazon along the Las Piedras River in the Madre de Dios region of Peru, highlighted how ecotourism has brought people to the front lines of conservation. This is the edge of human presence on this planet, Rosalie said via voice memo deep in the Amazon. The battle is playing out between the progress of roads and development and the last places where there are untouched ecosystems, indigenous communities, communities of species yet to be discovered. You get to see incredibly pristine, pure wilderness where a few people have managed to make a living. Ecotourism should encourage ethical considerations, like respect for the environment and host communities. For example, ecotourism aims to be biocentric, meaning that the interests of the living beings you are hoping to protect is prioritized over your own drive for pleasure. There is also the risk of too much tourism causing gentrification and raising prices for locals. see what's currently happening in Mexico City. Or consider the fictional but still germane plot of HBO's The White Lotus. Ecotourism aims to reverse the exploitative relationships between tourists and locals. Lastly, ecotourism should strive for sustainability. In the case of Jungle Keepers, which offers base station visits and ranger-accompanied hikes to tourists, this means extending employment to former loggers in their ranger program. The Sheldrick Wildlife Trust, where there are 6 eco-lodges for tourists to book, has anti-poaching teams who work with the Kenya Wildlife Service to stop illegal poaching for ivory, bushmeat, and logging. The tricky questions around ecotourism. Just because ecotourism might have a broader application these days, it doesn't necessarily mean all travel qualifies, especially since there are slews of companies and organizations attempting to make a quick buck off a catchy buzzword. Unfortunately, it's hard to sift the wheat from the chaff. As ecotourism as a concept grows more and more popular, some experiences and excursions may not necessarily meet the intentions lined up above. Tourism can be rife with greenwashing, vague and unsupported claims and exaggerations about how much good a given entity is doing, like hotels highlighting their donations to ecological causes but underpaying their staff. Some excursions put indigenous peoples in precarious situations, and some force animals to perform or be ridden or petted in a forced and unnatural manner. Milo Putnam, founder of Laro Ethical Wildlife Travels, a service that helps people plan eco-travel, warns, "Don't be tricked by misused greenwashing buzzwords like rescue, sanctuary, or eco-park. Companies know that tourists like these terms, which to these companies can mean more profits, even if it isn't true. These terms are meaningless if not backed by actual ethical practices. Instead, look further to see if they are certified or accredited by a trusted organization." More on this below. Additionally, Fennell believes the most ethical ecotourists, the traveler, and any organizations involved should keep animals off the menu. Ecotourism's biocentric approach should lead us to widen our moral consideration of animals and to care not only for charismatic megafauna like lions and elephants, but also for all creatures that make ecosystems function. The global food system, mainly animal agriculture, is the primary driver of biodiversity loss, Putnam added. Choosing a more plant-based diet has a positive impact on wildlife around the world. How to choose where to go. Certifications may give a clue to how well a given destination is achieving ecotourism goals, but they may not always exist. Putnam has compiled a tip list for planning animal-based adventures and points to the Global Federation of Animal Sanctuaries as a resource. The Federation checks in to ensure that no captive breeding is taking place, that tourists do not have direct contact with wildlife, and that animals have appropriate housing and veterinary care. There is no universal ecotourism certification, but the Global Sustainable Tourism Council has compiled a list of certifications around the world that emphasize the 4 C's: conservation, community, culture, and commerce. These certifications are a good place to start, and they cover Asia, Europe, Africa, North and South America, and Australia. The land down under is at the top when it comes to vetting their tourism options. Australia's ecotourism industry has some of the most sophisticated certifications, including nature tourism, ecotourism, and advanced ecotourism. In this certification system, outback safari glamping at Kerinjindi National Park counts as ecotourism because it supports indigenous peoples, as it is owned and operated by the Gamala Aboriginal Corporation, which represents the interests of Banjima, Yinahaka, and Nepali peoples in Western Australia. Everyone I spoke to underscored the importance of selecting an ethical destination for travel, because the money you spend as a tourist can have a positive impact rather than an ambiguous impact or even detrimental effect on the places you're visiting. As Rosalie puts it, finding the right place to go as a traveler is a very powerful decision to people who are devoting their whole lives to protecting a place. Five getaways that reinvent ecotourism. From the Columbia River Gorge to the Chesapeake Bay, these retreats provide educational and volunteer experiences for travelers not only wanting to reconnect with nature, but to give back. By Lauren Madison. Published March 13, 2024. Hotels and glamping sites touting sustainability practices and nature-based activities have proliferated throughout the United States in the last decade, finding financial success by offering guests a Let Nature Nurture You wellness experience. But many of these destinations have targeted only luxury travelers and focused on an ethos of self-improvement. Now, a growing number of hospitality entrepreneurs are working with or employing naturalists and scientists to reinvent ecotourism by championing an outward, altruistic kind of outdoor therapy. Regenerative tourism initiatives, such as trail building and oyster reef restoration opportunities, as well as climate change education. Having sustainability or eco experiences perceived as cool may help shift cultural perspectives in the long run, said Leah Thomas, a climate justice activist and the author of The Intersectional Environmentalist. Ms. Thomas says engaging travelers just one time in habitat restoration work or an environmental class can teach them to care about the planet. Here are five affordable retreats that aim to inspire community activism and a more sustainable lifestyle. Thatcher, Idaho, Maple Grove Hot Springs and Retreat Center. At the Maple Grove Hot Springs and Retreat Center in southeast Idaho, guests can enjoy a soak in one of six thermal pools, but many also sign up for invasive plant removal, trail development, or tree planting. We want guests from all walks of life to strike that perfect balance of rest, work, learning, thinking, sharing, laughing, and exploring. The marriage of those creates a very transformative experience, said Jordan Manziel, the founder of Maple Grove. Powered by solar and hydro sources, the off-grid 45-acre Maple Grove is currently working to become the world's first B Corporation certified hot springs, Mr. Manziel said. The designation requires a certification of social and environmental performance. The retreat, opened in 2019, has stone shelters, yurts, and cabins, nightly rates from $170, as well as walk-in tents and camper vans, starting at $45. The center provides kayaks and river tubes at the beach, and concerts and outdoor movies by the pool, as well as foraging hikes, workshops on composting and managing a home garden, and cold plunges in the river. To honor the Northwestern Band of Shoshone people who made their winter home on the Bear River, Maple Grove hosts a quarterly storytelling event led by a Shoshone tribal elder. Mr. Manziel also recently launched a conservation organization, OneidaNarrows.org, to stop a proposed dam on a nearby waterway. Hike Club, in multiple locations. In 2017, after feeling ostracized at several national parks, Evelyn Escobar, a Black and Indigenous second-generation Guatemalan American, created Hike Club, an intersectional women's hiking club and nonprofit committed to equitable access in the outdoors. Club, she said, is slang, referring to any type of club. Miss Escobar designs day and overnight experiences that balance healing in nature with land restoration and activities that encompass cultural heritage and decolonization education. Miss Escobar has hosted 77 free and low-cost meetups so far, where participants have gathered not only to hike and clean up trash along the trail, but to bike, surf, fish, farm, and more. In California, the Hike Club community planted 100 oak trees in the Santa Monica Mountains recreational area and work with the Heal the Bay nonprofit to clean up the historically black beach, Bruce's Beach, now known as Manhattan Beach. The concept of these trips is bringing black and brown facilitators and participants together to restore a place, Ms. Escobar said. As we are taking care of the land, it's taking care of us. In fall 2022, Ms. Escobar created a two-night overnight retreat called Night Club at Ace Hotel Palm Springs. This year and next, Night Club events will take place in Puerto Rico, Alaska, Hawaii, and Yosemite National Park. People are craving opportunities to visit places as stewards versus tourists, Ms. Escobar said. When you feel connected to a place and have respect for it, you respect yourselves in that place too. In that way, it's a luxury experience. Irvington, Virginia, the Tides Inn. The Tides Inn sits on the Carter's Creek tributary of Chesapeake Bay, which produces around 500 million pounds of seafood annually. Since before the hotel opened in 1947, pollution and overharvesting have been decimating the population of oysters, a keystone species for all marine life. In summer 2021, Tides Inn completed a $3.6 million shoreline restoration project that has since allowed oyster reefs to make a comeback with help from a steady stream of guests. The inn's resident ecologist, Will Smiley, has been leading volunteer experiences for the last 3 years, including a popular one that repopulates baby oysters. As of January 2024, we have grown and planted over 1 million oysters, said Mr. Smiley, noting that seahorses are returning to the area, a great bioindicator. By planting oysters, which feed on the creek's overabundance of algae, partly because of pesticide runoff, the inn is also helping revive seagrass beds that are known to remove excessive nutrients and maintain a healthy ecosystem. The 70-room resort, with nightly rates from $249, offers activities on and off the water, from kayaking and paddleboard yoga to pickleball and a pool and spa. But the heart of the inn is its boardwalk, which curves around 13,000 feet of shoreline and was designed as an outdoor museum with signs about the restoration project, local species and native plants. Family-friendly programming includes birding walks, beekeeping, blue crab ecology tours, and pollinator garden lessons with the inn's horticulturalist Matt Little. An off-site volunteer excursion benefiting the river nonprofit Friends of the Rappahannock pairs a picnic with planting trees and wetland grasses. Just make your world the world, said Mr. Smiley, as he walked along a new 6.2-mile nature trail on the inn's rewilded golf course. If you can make small daily changes like curbing waste and ditching plastic, you'll feel good. Deep River, Ontario, Anupaya Cabin Company. I think the climate crisis can cause people to feel such paralysis, like it's almost too little, too late, said Shannon McLagan, who created Anupaya Cabin Company with her husband Pete, as a wilderness retreat and incubator for climate action in 2021. There are massive, esoteric concepts about how to tackle global warming, but this is something tangible and applicable. The 12-acre property, with nightly rates from $232, along the Upper Ottawa River, has a lodge, private beach, and 8 renovated cabins, each with a kitchen, grill, fire pit, and porch views of the Laurentian Mountains. Anupaya invites every guest, inner-city youth groups, receive a 50% room discount to join the environmental movement in whatever way they can. That might mean participating in cleanups through the hotel's 1 Pound Promise initiative. 60,000 pounds of waste have been collected so far. foraging workshops, planting fruit trees and berry bushes, or learning to grow and harvest food in the garden where guests are often found pulling invasive plants and picking salad ingredients. Visitors can also work on trail management projects with the local Friends of the Riviere Des Moines nonprofit or do trail maintenance at nearby Four Seasons Conservancy. The whole reason we started Anupaya is to remind people how a part of nature we all are. Miss McLagan said, if you love something, you feel a sense of responsibility toward it. Anupaya is introducing more formal volunteer opportunities in 2024. The Sustainable Saturdays initiative, to run from May to November, will offer free 2-hour educational sessions on composting, starting a medicinal garden, raising chickens, and more. Mosier, Oregon, Fur Haven Retreats. This August, the restoration ecologist Kieran Wild plans to welcome the first guest to Fur Haven, a 20-acre, plastic-free property an hour outside of Portland on the eastern end of the Columbia River Gorge. Fur Haven will have A-frame cabins with kitchenettes, nightly rates from $115, platform tent sites, $50, EV chargers, and an informal educational lab for environmental stewardship. Mr. Wild aims to create experiences for people to be immersed in conservation, he said, like planting Jerry oak trees, both as a fire suppression tool and to support a rich native habitat. Fur Haven will offer a menu of volunteer projects and field trips for guests working with nonprofit partners like Trail Keepers of Oregon. It was time to double down on the non-extractive, regenerative travel movement and inspire people to leave a positive impact together, said Mr. Wild, who previously worked for the Bureau of Land Management and started First Nature Tours, an eco-tour operator. Mr. Wild said there will be plenty of traditional wellness activities, including yoga and forest bathing, as well as biking on the Columbia River Gorge Scenic Highway, or hiking at nearby Rowana Crest Viewpoint. This is Rebecca Naldo. This is Rebecca Naldo, volunteer reader for Sun Sounds of Arizona, reading for Are We There Yet? Quirky travel guide to the Southwest and beyond.
On the road again. Just can't wait to get on the road.